All right. And let me just welcome everybody to the Monday morning prayer and intercession call. It's happening. It's happening. You've been praying for it for years. Revival is here. Revival has come, not just to Kentucky. Oh, yes, it's in Kentucky. It is spreading across the country. I have got people calling me from all over. Last night, I tried to sit down and eat supper, and I had people from Fort Worth calling and saying our small groups are meeting, but all of a sudden, the worship leader feels like we need to have worship and prayer in the main sanctuary. Melissa, we think revival is coming. Will you pray with us right now? And people are flocking to houses of prayer. People are flocking to churches that have never been a house of prayer. People are calling, wanting to know what it looks like to steward and move because something's happening in their church. You guys, this is revival. It is not just happening in one little campus, in one little city in Kentucky. It is everywhere. You guys, the signs of revival are there. I had a professor ask our opinion in a class on Saturday. He said, I don't think that I would categorize this as revival. Okay, I will. All the signs of revival are being met. People are being saved. People are being transformed. People are being purified and filled with the Spirit. There are healings taking place. There are deliverances taking place. We are seeing dead relationships brought back to life and restoration occurring spontaneously. No one is asking for these things to happen. The presence of the Lord is so real. These things are happening. This renewal is the definition of revival. And so it is, in my opinion, in the opinion of the definition of the word, and I believe in the Lord speaking, this is revival and isn't just happening in one place. So I'm not even going to start listing off all the college campuses now and the universities where we're seeing night and day continual prayer and worship, but it's happening everywhere. That we are seeing churches doing the same. We are seeing whole denominations starting to change the course of what they're doing right now to fall in line with the move of God. This is an awakening we will see continue. It is not stopping, even if Asbury starts to put some limits on who can come. And honestly, if I was in their shoes, I would probably have to do the same. I don't blame them. This is a difficult decision for them, but they still want to steward a move of God. So as we're talking this morning, as we're praying this morning, it's our job to pray into this. Intercessors, your prayers are being heard. Your prayers are being answered in a mighty way. Some of you have been praying for years. I have a story to tell you, and then we're going to jump into prayer. We're going to see where the Lord takes us today, okay? I know what he wants me to share, and it's very important that we share it because it goes right along with this revival and stewarding a move of God. And we're going to challenge our thinking today. We're going to challenge our comfort level today of what we're feeling. And we're going to try to put it in perspective according to the word of God as intercessors, okay? So here's the story. We do not know her name, but this is a legitimate confirmed story. There's a lady that lives in Wilmore, has lived in Wilmore right off campus. And she's an intercessor and a hidden prayer warrior. And she has been praying, walking her sidewalks of her town and walking the sidewalks of both Asbury Seminary and Asbury University, and praying that revival would come again. And she started doing this after the 1970 revival. She began praying, Lord, do it again. Lord, do it again. Lord, come and bring revival again. And partway through her intercession, she felt like she heard the Lord say, I'm going to do it again. And as she has aged since she began prayer walking and praying for revival to come back, and to Terry, she's aged and she had to leave. Terry, tell me where they sent her. New York.
New York.
She had to go to New York because of, I think, her age and some health reasons
family.
And she was so sad. This is a pretty recent move she had to make because she wanted to see revival, and she felt like the Lord promised her revival would come again. And she moved. She moved to New York. She satisfied all her obligations in New York, and she moved back to Wilmore, Kentucky. She moved in Tuesday. Revival started Wednesday, the next day. This is the kind of report we're hearing of people who have given their life to praying that the Lord would bring another awakening, a great awakening, another revival that would come and perpetuate and tarry in our country. There are people who have been praying their lifetime all over this country, all over the world, that revival would come again to America. Revival's here. We can't keep praying that it'll come. We have to recognize it's here. We have to remember that it's in us, because we have the Holy Spirit that's moving in us. And everywhere we gather together with this purpose, he's going to come and meet with us. And he's not going to leave if we'll stick around. He's going to stay as long as we're going to stay. If we tarry and wait on the Lord, he will come and stay with us as long as we don't grieve him or quench him or leave him. This is what he wants to do. And so we are absolutely going to continue talking about this. We're going to see what the word is saying about this. And I think the word actually says something very specific about what this move of God looks like. As we begin, obviously we've begun. Let's pray and worship and honor the Lord's presence in this Zoom. We have seen him move. On Zooms, on live streams. I'm so glad the Lord is not bound by a room where he's got to all have us together in the same space. He's not interested in any logistical issue we have. He's just going to come and gather as long as our hearts are ready and anticipating him to come. And we are this morning. And so Jesus, as we honor your presence here, Lord, we would say, as we say every week, God, we do not want to ignore you or quench you or hurt you. We want to fall under submission unto you. We want to yield ourselves unto you. We want to humble ourselves to you, and we want to listen so carefully to what you're saying and to have us pray, because all through these years, as you have led us to pray your heart, Lord, we have seen you move. We have seen you answer. And this, Lord, this should not be a shock or a surprise to us, but we are in awe that you have and are doing this thing, that you are moving through this country, Lord, in so many ways undeserving this country is. But because you are a faithful God, and because you have called your people to pray, and because your intercessors have heard and heeded the call to intercede that you would come and bless this nation once again, that you would come and revive this nation unto your word, unto your spirit, you're doing it. God, because we have asked for the slumbering church to be awakened in the name of Jesus, you are doing it, God. We don't want to say, come and do it, come and do it when you're here doing it now. We recognize you. We recognize this answer, and we praise you, God. It is rude of us to keep asking you to do what you're doing right now. It is rude of us to not recognize that the thing we've been praying for is coming to fruition. Whether we see it in our own town or our own church or our own family or not, it's coming. It's coming. I believe it's coming for every single place, for those who would believe, for every single group of people who would believe. And so, Lord, we are those who have prayed. We are those who believe. And so, Lord, I thank you that we can travel to these places where there are people that are meeting. But Lord, I thank you we can do this in our home. We can travel down to our local church, God. We can find other people and pray in different houses of prayer and prayer rooms in our own community. Lord, I am excited that people can come and receive an impartation of what's happening at Asbury. But Lord, if they can no longer go to Asbury, you're still moving. You're still going to move. Lord, we can receive an impartation on a Zoom call. We can receive an impartation alone in our prayer closet. Come on, we can receive an impartation in our own prayer meeting at church. Lord, you are not bound to one place and one campus. And if there are people that are itching to get there and they're disappointed because they can't get there, I hear your spirit saying, don't be disappointed. I'd like to do it right where you are too. And so, Lord, may we receive this truth and cling to it. God, may we see a move that looks like and flavors like the culture where we're living, God. Nothing is going to be identical from one place to the next. And we're not searching for an experience, God. We're searching to encounter the living God unto transformation. And so, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for this awakening. Thank you for this revival. Lord, I know it's not coming without criticism. And Lord, I know that there are people who disagree with me, and I'm not even arguing with anybody. I don't even care. I know what you're speaking in my own heart. And so, Lord, I'm just speaking out what I hear you speaking in my own heart. And so I do it with carefulness. We want to be careful this morning as we pray. We want to be tender this morning as we pray. But we will not be a fearful people to shut our mouth. We will not be scared. We will not pray in worry or concern that we might be praying amiss. Lord, we are going to pray in confidence because you are our confidence. You are our king. You are our leader. Your Holy Spirit leads us. We are your sheep. You're the shepherd. And we are listening to your voice. I'm going to jump in here with a really quick word from the Word of God and my take on it, and it's going to be short because I want us to pray and I want us to continue praying by the Spirit. The Spirit is very real this morning, moving. Thank you already for praying in the Spirit. Let's continue this with this just scripture in view, okay? In Matthew 20, Jesus gives us a parable. It's called the laborers in the vineyard. You guys have heard this parable. You know it. I'm briefly going to read it. This is, again, Matthew 20 and verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace. And to those he said, you too go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give it to you. And so they went. And again, he went out about the sixth hour, and then he went out about the ninth hour, and he did the same thing. And about at the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing, and he said to them, why have you been standing idle all day long? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. He said to them, you too go into the vineyard. And when the evening had come, the landowner of the vineyard said to the foreman, call the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group first. And when those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. And when those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more. And they also received each a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled at the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour. And you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. But if I wish to give these last men the same as to you, is it not lawful me to do what I wish with what is my own? Or is your eye envious because I am generous? Thus the last shall be first and the first shall be last. What we're seeing now is a revival and a move of God that is being ushered in by Generation Z, a young generation. My youngest two children are in Generation Z. These are the 25 and younger right now. All the way up into the generation alpha is like infants and toddlers right now. What we are seeing is this move of God happening on our college campuses. We're seeing college kids and high school kids, some of which, let me be clear about this, have never encountered the Lord. And they are encountering him for the first time. And in this encounter, revival is happening. Awakening is happening with a generation that have not borne the scorching sun of the day. They have not seen the hardness of the ground. They have not put a plow into the hard ground that is needed tilled up for years. They didn't have the trouble that some of us have seen for years in the church, a religious spirit, a hard spirit, a jealous spirit, a spirit of heaviness. Come on, they haven't dealt with that yet. They're new. They're only working the last hour of the day. We have to be so careful not to despise what the Lord is doing. And those that have come at the 11th hour of the day, he meant very well to pour out his spirit, started by this generation, not because of the rest of us, but because he loves us all enough to do it now.
Amen.
And he has used us to set the path, to the precedence, to bring forth. We have labored in the sun and the scorch and the hardness of the day in prayer and intercession. And it has been a joy to do so. And the only real grievance of my heart would come if I wasn't alive to see what I'm seeing now. But we are. We are those that are blessed that get to see what's coming now. My grandma's generation, she prayed for this. She's not alive to see it. I'm blessed. You're blessed that we get to see it and be a part of it now. Who cares if we bore the scorching sun? Who cares if we tilled the hard ground? I'm so glad we have. But you guys, don't despise this generation and what the Lord is doing through them, because their reward is the same as ours. Come on, it's life. It's life eternal. It's the fullness of his word. It's the fullness of inheritance. Just because our college days, we never saw this, doesn't mean we don't get the full inheritance of the word. The promises will be fulfilled to us, but we have a job to do now, and we have to be so careful not to take what is happening with these younger generations and hoard it up to us. We have to help serve. And here's the word on the serving part. Are you ready? Right across the page, still in Matthew 20, it says in 25, but Jesus called them, the disciples, to himself. And he said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, we are called to serve this younger generation as they have ushered in. We are called to help them steward this thing, not take it from them. We are called to help support them in prayer. Come on, we are called to help support them in discipleship. We are called to help lift them up. If we are given the mic, if we are elevated from the foot of the table to the front of the table, we better look around and make sure that we give them an honored opportunity to speak and share. We are not called to take away what the Lord is doing in our universities, in our high schools, amongst our young people, and hoard it up to ourselves, but to help them steward what the Lord is doing amongst them. And so, intercessors, we have to continue praying. And so we have to continue discipling. Boy, if we haven't been discipling, we better start now, right? We have to help them, because many of them, come on, they don't have the experience in the word yet. They don't have the experience in the spirit yet. And so we're come alongside of them, and we're going to pour in, and we're going to help, and we're going to love, but we're not going to undermine what God is doing in this generation. And this is hard. It's hard. They may mess up. So do we. They may not hear well. Sometimes we don't either. But we are not called to take control of this thing in any way. They're not going to control it. They're not called to control it. We're not called to control it. This is the spirit of the living God. He will not be controlled or put in a box, or otherwise we will quench him. So we have to be so careful. There's such a spirit of criticism in certain places, and I've avoided that like the plague. But I promise you, this morning I got a text before this call happened from a dear old friend who we went to her church. I met her years ago. And she said, we just heard about what's happening at Asbury. And I'm like, praise the Lord. It's awesome. It's genuine. It's real. Right. And she said, is there preaching happening? And I said, not really. What I hear is more of a short exhortation and then a pointed, here's how we are asking you to pray now. And then they loose us all to pray. Here's what we want you to pray for now. Here's what we think we hear the Spirit leading now. But it's not specific sermons and teaching times. This is different. The Lord is there. The Lord is present. The Lord is in the worship. The Lord is in the prayer. And I thought, hallelujah. And she said, well, I certainly hope these young people are being taught the word of God. And I was like, oh, and I had so many things to say. And I almost invited her on our call this morning so she could hear what I'm teaching right now, because I already knew what I was teaching before I talked to her. But then I realized, no, that might cause a spirit of offense, right? But I do have a verse for that. Are you ready? In 1 John 2:27, it says this: as for you, the anointing which you received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you, but as his anointing teaches you about all things and is true and is not a lie, just as he has taught in you, you abide in him. What am I saying? I'm saying he's enough of a leader that we can trust him with the message. Okay. He's enough of a leader. We can trust him to teach us and this younger generation his word. Does that mean there's no need for discipleship? No, there is need for discipleship, and there is need for teaching time, and there is need to come around and continue speaking out the word of God. But if no one is preaching or teaching, it's still a move of God, because the Holy Spirit's the best teacher and he's teaching. No one asked for people to be healed and delivered, but he's doing that too. Do we think we have to tell him how to do his job? Come on, he can do it better than we know. And yet we put him in this box and it smells of religiosity really strongly. And we have to be so careful not to say things and believe things like this. Well, you know, they should probably do this or they should probably do that. Man, it's not us to say. It's not our place to say. It's our place to say, praise you, God. Thank you, God. We trust you, God. You're doing what needs to be done, God. How dare we think we can tell God how to move better than he knows? We have to be so careful. And so I want us to pray. I don't want to honor any criticism. I don't even want to come up with arguments, because I'm not arguing. I didn't even argue with my sister. I was like, I love you. I bless you. I'm done. I'm not going to engage in debate, because that's not what the Lord is calling us to do. I'm going to engage in worship. I'm going to thank him. I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede. I'm going to do what he's called us to do, because it's been working. We're seeing the fruit of that. And so last story, and then we're going to pray. Are you ready? So I thought, it's my Sunday. This last Sunday, yesterday was my Sunday to teach Kingdom Kids. That's our children's church. And we rotate, and haven't been back there for a while. And I'm like, Lord, what do you want me to say to these kids, right? And I thought, I heard the Lord remind me, you know, I'm moving because and in the younger generation. Why don't you talk to him about what it looks like to flow in worship and prayer? And I was like, yes. And so we get there, and there's 7 kids in my Kingdom Kids yesterday morning, right? 7 kids. And the oldest is, there's a little girl that's 12. And then Baylor's 10, and then they're on down to 4. And so I say to these kids, all right, this thing that's happening at Asbury, it's revival, and we're going to talk about worship and prayer. And they're like, what's revival? And I said, oh, okay, great. This is where we're going to start. So I said what revival is, you know? And I said, people are getting healed and delivered and saved and filled with the Spirit, all because the Lord is so present in this place. And they're like, what does delivered mean? And I said, okay, all right, let's back it down. And so I'm backing it down, and I say, deliverance is when any lie of the enemy or demonic oppression comes against us, the Lord sets us free from that demon, from that influence, from that lie. And the little boy sitting next to me, his name's Maker. And Maker says, I don't believe in no demons. And I was like, whoa, hang on. Are you telling me you don't believe that demons are real? And he said, no, I don't. And I said, Maker, do you believe the word of God? And he said, yes, I believe the Bible. I said, so good. Let's read about demons. Let's read about what Jesus did with demons. So I read about Jesus casting out the demon of legions in the man at the Gadarenes. And these kids were like, whoa. They were so excited, right? And so what I wanted to teach was out the window at this point. Now we're talking about demons. And I'm sure there's going to be like parents like, what? Well, no, these parents know. They know what's happening. So anyways, I'm like teaching about demons. And then I'm like, you guys know Jesus is calling us to cast out demons and deliver people just the way he did. And they're like, oh, how do we do that? And Maker said, water, man, water. You pour water on them. And I said, no, Maker, that's just going to make them wet. That's not going to make the demons flee. And he goes, if it's holy water, they're going to go. And I said, now listen, hang on, hang on. We don't have to use water. We get to use our words. What did Jesus do? And Maker's sister said, Jesus commanded by the word that they leave. And I was like, yes, they're getting it. And I said, all we have to do is speak and believe the word of God in the name of Jesus. And I'm so excited. And I'm like, what am I doing? Am I telling little kids how to cast out demons? What's happening in here? And so I said, how come we have the power to do that? And they're like, we don't know. And I said, because the Holy Spirit of the living God lives within us. And then I said, does he live within everybody? And they're like, yes. And I said, no, only those who know Jesus in right relationship have the Spirit of the living God living inside of them. And they were shocked. And I said, do you guys know if you're in relationship with Jesus? Have each one of you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Have you crowned him the King of your life? Have you asked him to forgive your sin? Have you repented? They said, what's repentant mean? And I said, okay. So we talked about repentance. We talked about forgiveness. We talked about what it means to not be our own Savior and our own leader, but to make Jesus our Savior and our King, to choose him, to ask him to be our Savior. And I said, do you guys remember every single time each one of you received Jesus? And all of them, except for one, Baylor, all of them said, no, I've never done that. And I said, would you like to now? And they said, yes. And every one of them kids prayed and received Jesus yesterday. And then we talked about what it meant to be baptized. And then I said, you can be baptized with water and you can be baptized with the Holy Spirit. I want you guys to go and you have to tell somebody. You have to tell somebody you just made Jesus your King. You have to tell them you're saved. And then you have to ask your mom and dad if you can get baptized so we can tell everybody in the world what's happened to you. But I said, right now, how about we just receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire? And they're like, yes, yes. Because remember, we don't want demons coming against us. We want to have the power of the Holy Spirit in us. So everybody held their little hands up and we prayed that the Holy Spirit would fill us and baptize us with the fresh filling of the Holy Spirit and fire. And this is what happened in Children's Church yesterday at River City Hope. And all those kids went out. And I said, don't forget, you got to tell somebody Jesus has saved you. You got to tell somebody Jesus has saved you. You have to make witness. You have to testify to what the Lord has done in you. And I began to watch little hugs happen all over the sanctuary as mamas wept and embraced their kids. And then I had a mama and a little boy from our neighborhood who's been coming. And Jalen accepted Jesus yesterday. And they came to me and his mama said, I've never been baptized either. I want to be baptized too. And so I'm like, what is happening? What is happening is revival's happening. Revival's come. And it's happening every time we meet. Something is happening. And it is overwhelming. I won't tell you any more stories. I'll stop with that one. But Lord, I want to pray right now. And I repent, Lord. I repent for us telling you how to move. I repent for us criticizing your move. I repent for us, your church, thinking we have a better idea than you do. I deeply repent. Lord, have your way, whatever it looks like. I don't want to miss it. I want to serve. If it's in the younger generation, hey, if it's in that group of kids that received you yesterday, I'm going to support them and love them and hold them up. Lord, I don't want to miss what you're doing because I have my own ideas. Change our paradigms. Change our wineskin. We need new wineskin. We thought we had it before. Boy, we need it now again. Lord, I repent for your church today. I repent for those that are criticizing. I pray it'd be hushed up in Jesus' name. Lord, I say come and move. Don't be grieved. Don't leave us. Do this thing. Awaken us, God. Continue this revival, Lord. We don't want to miss it. Show us how to pray. Show us how to intercede better. Show us how to do it now that you're here. Show us how to trust your teaching and your word and what you're saying. And Lord, if we're uncomfortable, help us, Lord, get over it and trust you. And trust your move. Help us be discerning, Lord. Help us be honoring. Boy, if we ever needed to be a culture of honor, it's now. Help us love and honor. Help us desire to hear the word in and through other people. Help us desire to hear your voice in and through other people. Oh, Jesus, thank you for what you're doing. Help us spend these last minutes here praying your heart, hearing your spirit, and praying according to what you're saying. And Lord, help me prepare my generation's ears. Lord, my son is out there right now. He's ministering, Lord. He's doing what you've raised him up to do. But Lord, help me to pour into my Baylor, I pray, without any selfish shame, I pray. I want to raise up these kids, my children, my grandchildren, to radically obey you as they continue to steward this move of your spirit. Lord, I don't want to lord over them or displace them or steal from them or begrudge them. Lord, I want to be the best mama and Mimi I can be for the kingdom of God. And Lord, I want to do it for everybody's kids and grandkids. Lord, I want to help those in our generation see this is not something that should threaten us, but should renew us and transform us. I ask humbly in Jesus' name.